May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. God is in his heaven, and all is right with the world, writes the 19th century poet Robert Browning. Now this sounds like a nice sentiment, but is it? How does the thought of God up in heaven bring us comfort in the midst of our very earthly reality? How does knowing that God is far away with the angels make any difference to us in a world plagued with injustice, violence, and political instability? Surely there must be more. I believe there is more, and in today's celebration of Michael and All Angels may just point us in the right direction. Of all the festivals in the church, today's is quite possibly the most creative. Angels fighting dragons, going up and down ladders, proclaiming the dramatic and life-changing voice of God. Many people believe in angels, but we are a bit shy of speaking of them. And yet, I wonder why. Angels are present throughout the Bible and are widely depicted in music, art, and literature. They are revealed as mysterious, powerful, even terrifying beings that remind us that the presence of God is very close, that there is a thin line between earth and heaven. Angels capture our imagination, and this is important, for the creative activity of God in the world is connected with our imagination. And someone who captures my imagination, perhaps more than any other, is the artist Marc Chagall. His bold use of color, paired with his passionate, often playful subject matter, draws me towards a spiritual understanding that moves beyond time and space, beyond what I can intellectually understand. Chagall was one of 10 children born in a small town in Belarus. And at the age of 19, he left his town for St. Petersburg to explore his goal of becoming an artist. Far away from home, living in a small room, Chagall faced many challenges. Because he was Jewish, he was forbidden to live in St. Petersburg and was continually forced to evade the authorities. And it was during this time when Chagall's fascination with angels began. One night, drifting in and out of sleep, he thought he heard a rustle of wings in his room. He opened his eyes and immediately felt the prickling of pins and needles in his forehead. And suddenly, the room was filled with a brilliant blue light. In the midst of the light, Chagall saw an angel hovering over him. And as he watched, the angel slowly floated up through the ceiling, and the beautiful blue light faded with him. Chagall's dream or vision had a lasting impact not only on his art, but on his faith. His experience inspired a lifetime of work portraying the wonder of the angel and the bright blue color he saw. Chagall struggled with his faith, with the God who created such beauty, and at the same time seemed to allow great suffering. And yet, in the midst of this struggle, Chagall recognized that he could encounter the peace of God through his imagination. Painting, he said, appeared to me like a window through which I could fly away toward another world. Now, Chagall's philosophy goes much deeper than simply an escape from reality. For he believed God was reaching towards him and out to the world through his art. One of Chagall's most beloved subjects was the story of Jacob's ladder that we heard this morning in our reading from Genesis. And I've included two depictions of this story for you to look at. And it is clear in both how Chagall's vision of the blue angel influenced him. In the first, there is an intense blue light encompassing the angel and overwhelming the picture with the certainty of hope. In the second, the blue is more subtle, most visible in the angel at the top of the ladder. Here, the angel is also pointing towards hope, but a hope shrouded in mystery. The dream of Jacob's ladder, to my mind, is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. To give a bit of background, Jacob is on the run from his brother Esau after deceiving their father, Isaac, into giving him his brother's blessing. The blessing refers back to God's covenant, and now, two generations later, they are in trouble. He may have God's blessing, but Jacob does not seem to understand what this means. So exhausted, he falls asleep and into a mysterious dream. He sees a tall ladder reaching up towards heaven, up to the dwelling place of God. And on the ladder, there are angels ascending and descending. From somewhere above, the Lord speaks to Jacob, reminding him of what he is called to do. And as he wakes, he realizes he's not alone. God and all his angels are with him. Jacob encounters God even as his life is ascending and descending between faith and doubt, between hope and despair. And this encounter moves him beyond himself towards his calling to be the bearer of God's blessing to the world. I love this story because it reminds us that the separation between heaven and earth, between the spiritual and the temporal, is very thin. Before his encounter with God, we can imagine that Jacob spent much of his time climbing the ladder of success. He sought approval from his mother, his father, his brother, even God. He climbed and climbed, but he never reached his dreams. But notice in his dream that Jacob isn't the one on the ladder. He is not climbing or striving for acceptance or approval. The angels are the ones doing all the work. Jacob simply receives God's blessing. In Jacob's dream, the angels could have flown overhead far above the messiness of the world, but instead they chose to descend, to come down to earth, pointing us to the very heart of God. And this leads us to our reading from John's Gospel. By the time John was writing, Jacob's ladder had become integral to the Jewish understanding of faith, and John alludes to it in his Gospel. But this time, the angels are ascending and descending on the Son of Man, and the Son of Man is where heaven and earth meet. Jesus is the ladder, descending and ascending to heaven. Through him, the relationship between God and humanity has been restored. In him, the unexpected happens. The realm of God comes very near. And yet, how can we know today that the realm of God is very near, when sometimes God's presence is very difficult to perceive? One way we see that God is very near is in the gift of baptism. And today, as Marcellus and Titan are baptized, we will celebrate how God has come very near to them and will be with them as they grow. And together, as we grow into our calling to walk in the brilliant blue light of Christ, the mystery of God's presence becomes very real. For God is in his heaven. For his heaven is right here and with us today. And because of this, all will be right with the world. Amen.